Respected audience, dear friends, and all other categories of people who celebrate today the wonderful and mysterious appearance of Lord Ganesh. At this moment, behind the closed curtain, Lord Ganesh is getting dried, most probably he is dried, and dressed to give his auspicious darshan in about 15 minutes. Eddie and the pujaris will give us a sign, and then we will rise to our feet and receive what is so important in our lives, that is divine blessings. In the time which we still have until that auspicious moment, I will try to speak a little bit on the glories of Lord Ganesh, so that our minds and hearts are open and eager to receive those blessings. And because I'm slightly jet-lagged, having just arrived from Germany, I will take help of my notebook, with your permission. The name Ganesh can be broken into Gana and Isha, which on one level means the Lord of the multitude. Gana means people, a big mass of people, and Isha the Lord. Another translation of Ganesh or the Gana Isha is the commander in chief of Lord Shiva's troops. Lord Ganesh has many names, and of those names I would like to single out one name which I feel is especially important for those who walk on the spiritual path and require assistance. This name is Vinayaka, the one who removes obstacles or hurdles. His name also is Vigneshwara, the Lord of obstacles or hurdles. The beautiful and very amazing form of Lord Ganesh can be often found in doorways, in thresholds. When you move from one space into the other space, it said at that time Ganesh is there to bless you, to help you cross over the threshold and enter into what is not yet known to you. In the material field, Ganesh is worshipped before marriages. I don't know how many of you have entered the unfathomable and mysterious ocean of marriage. You might have seen at that time, as you cross into the over into this space, there are obstacles and hurdles, and Ganesh is invoked during marriages to remove those. I'm guiding something like a spiritual university, the Vedic University in Berlin, and I'm connected with many educational institutes, and whenever there are new students starting their period of education, they will worship Saraswati, the goddess of wisdom, in order to be inspired by wisdom, and they will also worship Ganesh. We always make a ceremony of Ganesh so that the hurdles of education can be removed. Or when you do a travel, a journey, before starting your journey, in order to invoke auspiciousness and to have, I mean, I don't want to say no traffic jams, but to have no obstacles, then Ganesh can be worshipped, which you will find whenever you go in a taxi in Delhi and travel to Jaipur or wherever. A good taxi driver will wave an incense to a murti of Ganesh. Oh, may our journey be free from obstacles. Or Lord Vigyeshvara. But because I feel most of you today in the group who is here at the concluding events of this Ganesh Chaturthi, his beautiful appearance, because most of you are spiritualists, you would be more interested in Lord Ganesh as a removing the obstacles on your own spiritual path, which is the stronghold of your material passions over you, greed, anger, and these unpalatable qualities. Other obstacles are your own fear, maybe, to take risks on your spiritual path and leave that comfort zone, which is in reality only your private misery zone. There's some fear to cross thresholds, as we all know. And you would be interested to worship or to connect with Ganesh for that reason. So, of all the names of Lord Ganesh, Vinayaka or Vigeshvara, the Lord of Obstacles, he who removes hurdles, is a very, very important. His ability to remove hurdles and his Ganaisha, his being the Lord of really all souls, can be seen in the symbols which Lord Ganesh holds. And I would like to request all of you to enter with me into a little contemplation of these symbols. Am I loud enough or am I too loud? He is seen as holding in one of his hands a bowl of sweets. These sweets symbolize the seeds of creation. You know, the small planets which come out of the breathing of God in the form of seeds, forms and then expands. Lord Ganesh, so powerful that he has a bowl of those. Sweets. This also represents the different individual souls, because remember, he is not just the Lord of America, like, anyways, I don't want to say any political incorrect statements. He is really a cosmic deity. Wow, some horse sound is coming. Have we left New York and entered India? Let me look. In one of his hands he holds a parashu. It's called a hatchet, like a little tomahawk, almost, for cutting away the illusions and mistaken teachings which you can have while you're on the spiritual path. The Lord of Wisdom, Ganesh, cuts away illusions. The Lord of Thresholds has his hand like this for you. This is a mudra called Vararaka Hasta Mudra. the mudra of instilling fearlessness on your path, and also reassurance. Come, come, come out of your so-called comfort zone. That's the teachings of the Vedas. Tamasima Jyotirgama, leave the darkness, come into the light. And he is there at the thresholds when the going gets tough, and makes this gesture. Be without fear. My help is there for you. I will remove the obstacles. He has a goat or an anukosh. A goat is something which elephant trainer uses. It's a little thing that has a pike, and he scratches behind the tender, in the tender part here where the ear of the elephant is, to guide the elephant left, right, straight on. Lord Ganesh carries such an anukosh in order to guide our mind, which is so often blocked by old thought patterns, to guide the mind onwards, to dare the bold thought. And then he has a noose, a pasha, which is used for controlling and binding wild animals. I do not know if you know, but in India, hunters use these nooses even to get big snakes. And the place where I lived for some time, it's 140 kilometers from Udupir in the jungles. There was a hunter who once brought a leopard. Is that an English word? Leopard?
Leopard.
Leopard, thank you. Just with a noose. So, Lord Ganesh has this noose for controlling and restraining the passions which are, and desires which are born out of lust. Here I want to quote someone who might be amongst us. I heard from Krishnadas that his friend Robert Svoboda is here. Is that correct? Where is our Robertus? You were the pujari.
Yes.
I'm delighted to meet you. I will quote from your book Kundalini with your permission. Robert Svoboda has explained in his wonderful book and transformative book Kundalini that Ganesh is the lord of the yogis because he can control with this noose not just leopards but these different impulses which bring us from away from the spiritual path. Have I correctly quoted you? Good. I'm very happy to meet you, and I would like to have a word with, just to get to know you. So you can see from this last quotation, and maybe also the others, that for those of us who are on some yoga path, a path where we look for a higher connection, the worship of Ganesh is very, very suitable. And it is by no chance that Ganesh has appeared in this very traditional yoga studio of Eddie. And I believe yogis who want to go to their limits and beyond their limits, who want to cross the threshold, are well advised to pray to Ganesh for a successful completion of their journey. So I have talked a little bit about the names of Ganesh, about the symbols on his hands, and I would now like you to enter with me a meditation of Ganesh. Now, because I know that many of you have really a difficult day, and it's hot, and you have done many, many hours of worship, I will not ask you to close your eyes because I might lose many of you, and we might hear some very primordial sounds of snoring. But I would nevertheless request you to envision the wonderful and amazing form of Ganesh with me. See, the form of divinity invites the restless eye to pause a little in its haste and to wait for the revelation which comes from the picture of the Lord or the Murti, the form of the Lord. This meditation about the form of the Lord, or you know, when you are having darshan and your eyes try to move up from the feet of the Lord to his trunk, to the protruding I don't know what it is on this head, and the symbols, something happens to you which is not done by your mind. You allow that the secrets which are there in the form and the symbols reveal themselves to you and do something to you. So when we look at Lord Ganesh, we see his Gajamukha, his elephant face. We see his twisted trunk, his, I believe, Vakratunda. And we are amazed by his protruding belly, which in our civilization is a sign of whatever, but which is very, very attractive when we see it in divinity. We are amazed and wonder at his dwarfish statue. Small, he's very small. It has short legs, Padambhujagam. We are delighted to see his fan-like ears. And we wonder, how did he get this wonderful form? How is this so? May I know if some of you have ever visited the sacred mountain Kailash? We are brothers, because there is an invisible bond of brotherhood between those who have done this pilgrim. Only one of you is here, a Kailash pilgrim? You also. Second thing we have in common. Wonderful. In Kailash, you will find one particular lake. It's called, after you have climbed over the Dralmala, the highest pass, you go slightly down and then you see the Gaurikund. It's a little pond of Gauri or Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife. Yes, you have seen. So once Parvati was getting ready for her bath in this kund at Kailash. She had, like all, had applied oil all over her body and then cooling chandan. Now as she was before she was entering the lake, the lake of mercy it's called, she was peeling off one layer of the chandan, the cooling sandal pulp. And from this layer, this pile of chandan or sandalwood, a beautiful boy emerged. See, the great beings in the universe don't always require the seminal impregnation in order to give birth to progeny. By their mind they can create progeny, but also by sandalwood which peels off from their bodies. This is extraordinary. And a beautiful boy came there, and Parvati was very impressed and said, "My dear boy, I want to take my bath And I must tell you in confidence, I have a husband who is sometimes a little passionate. But today I want to take peacefully my bath. Can you just be before this Kund? And if my husband, Lord Shiva, would come, he would see me naked, and his passions might be arisen. Can you just tell him to not come, please? He should stay outside. So the boy said, yes, Ma, I'm doing what you wish. So then Parvati, with her attendants, the goddesses, went into this beautiful Kund. You must know, you might now ask, well, Sachinandan Swami, but this is Kailash, and we have seen pictures. It's so stony and so desolate up there. Where is the beauty, please? The beauty is in another dimension. The trees, the banyan trees, the birds, the exalted beings are all in another dimension. And for the pilgrim who is prepared for the darshan through sadhana, through his practice, they can come from that other dimension into his boring three dimension and reveal themselves. So anyway, Shiva, being a lord of this other dimension, came and knew his wife was taking a bath. He wanted to see his wife, but there was this beautiful boy who said, stop, Ma has said no one should enter at this time. She wants to have her peace and bathing. Shiva said, who are you, and who are you to stop me? Let me pass. But as he just ignored the boy took a rod and stopped him. He could not continue and proceed. This had never happened to Lord Shiva. And although he is the lord of Ahankara, for a little while he was in protest. This protest did not come from his ego, but it came from his desire to see his beloved wife. And he took his trident and wanted to give the boy a little strike to put him aside. But the boy again took his rod, and Shiva couldn't move his trident. Too much, said Shiva. And he called his Ganas. Don't know if you have pictures of Lord Shiva's army. It's impressive. I mean, it's scary, this army. Different heads are there, ferocious looking features. They all came and attacked, on Lord Shiva's command, the little boy. But the little boy, with his simple rod, just kept them abate. At that moment, Vishnu, who is the great friend of Lord Shiva, came and he saw Shiva in distress. And he created with his Mohana Shakti, his illusory Shakti, a veil of illusion. And at that time, Shiva, who was almost defeated by this little boy, again got his strength back. I have forgotten that the boy had struck him down in the fight. He got up on his legs, and Shiva cut the head of his own son, the son of his wife Parvati. The boy fell to the ground, and the head was severed. By now Parvati was finished with her bath. It was also a very, very noisy atmosphere around the bath. I think she made haste to finish her ablutions. And the first thing she saw when she came over the threshold was her beautiful boy, born out of the sandalwood and her own perspiration. She became furious. She only asked one question: who? Shiva made himself known and said, I. Parvati was too furious to speak. She summoned her goddesses and gave a command: destroy everything, destroy everyone. And the goddesses went all over the universe and created trouble. Yes, sometimes the female energy can create trouble for the male energy, as you all know. Intense when Mother Parvati gets angry. Finally, she somehow got pacified. I forgot really how, but she got pacified. And Shiva talked to her and said, why are you so furious? He forbade me to see my wife. Parvati said, he is your son. I have killed my son. But how? I don't remember that this is my son. And Parvati explained then the mysterious origins of Lord Ganesh's birth. Immediately, Shiva said, we have to correct this. And he went, and his idea was, the first living being whom I find, I will take his head and make a transplantation. So he ran and ran. He was desperate. He felt the fatherly bath to save his son, the dear son of his wife. And he found finally the first being. It was an elephant who had a little elephant baby. And Shiva just said, I don't want to explain anything. Took the head and rushed back with the head and planted the head on the shoulders of his boy, who immediately came back to life. Now, of course, this changing of heads is something which you will find all over the mystical traditions, in Sufi lore, in the scriptures of the medieval alchemists of Europe. Any culture which is concerning itself with transformation will tell you, you have to put the old mind away and you need a new mind, a new head, in order to go into this realm. And therefore, we might give such an interpretation that in this particular pastime of Lord Ganesh, the old head was removed for a new one, which makes him the threshold guardian, the one who helps you if you want to get from one space, one realm, into the next one. I would now like to look at the wristwatch. How long more? Five minutes. Good. There are many leelas which I could talk about, but I want to really talk about something which is in my heart. The living Murti. You all have seen the bathing of Lord Ganesh on his appearance day, and some of you might have asked yourself the question, this is a very personal attendance, what is this all about? Well, there are murtis or forms of the Lord, like also on this altar, which are considered to be living. They are not made of stone. In order to enliven them, there is something like a pran pratishta ceremony where the life force is put into them. You have maybe seen there was a cord from this yagya kund to this Ganesh, and what was happening is that the energy which is created in the yagya was traveling through that cord and enlivening or putting life into the murti. In India, you call these place the Thakur Ghara, at least in Vrindavan, the room of God. He lives there, and I have seen households in India which are too poor to buy two fans. They only have one fan, and when it's very, very hot, they will put the fan not in their living room, but in the room of God to attend him. And so they do with the heater. And also I saw one interesting interpretation of this. The living murti, they put the radio in there with the football news. Cricket. I'm sorry, I have offended the Indian sport, cricket. And because it is understood that God can become present almost like the electricity can become present in light bulbs and become visible. When the worshipper or the one who takes darshan enters into the presence of the Lord, he does so not necessarily in his physical identity, but he considers, I am an eternal soul, I am part of you, I am now exiting the bodily concept and the bodily identification of life, and I'm coming before you naked in my spiritual identity. Please see me. An interpretation of darshan which I find very important, or beholding the form of the Lord, is not so much that you see, but that the Lord sees you. This is much more interesting. What can you see? Not so much. But the Lord can see everything. And by His glance upon you, as you enter into His presence, He will bless you and give you your life, your spiritual life, on your spiritual path. So I can only say, when I came for the first time here into the yoga studio, I had a very mystical experience. I did not yet know Eddie, but I saw him going out of the Thakur Ghara, the room of God, and stepping over this, of being beyond this threshold. And for a moment, I didn't see a New Yorker, I saw an old soul who most probably in a previous incarnation has worshipped and done things. Also, when I entered yesterday and I saw the Western pujaris chanting these mantras so accurately, it's not so easy to chant these. You need to know a lot of metta, chandan, and of pronunciation, and you really need to be there and then not be there finally so that the mantra can chant through you. I was highly impressed because an atmosphere was created which was truly spiritual, and in which the participants of this divine comedy or divine performance, the yagya, were not really in their material identities, but beyond it in something else, something purer, something more divine, something more than themselves. I want to encourage all of you, as you come and enter this sacred space, please also be bold enough to cross a certain threshold. You are not New Yorkers, nor am I a German. You are not even necessarily male or female, or critical or faithful. You are eternal souls. And a real spiritual life starts in this identity, where you have crossed the threshold which is possible by divine grace. At any moment we have a choice, which in the bhakti tradition is used to ask for this bhakti, this divine grace, which is not a production of your mind and of your body, but which comes into you and starts to move you like a puppet or doll on a string. This is a choice which all of us have as we enter this sacred space. In conclusion, I want to chant with you one mantra for the glory of Lord Ganesh. It's his Gayatri mantra. I will first say to you the translation so that you know what you chant. May we understand Lord Ganesh. Let us meditate on that elephant-headed God who removes the obstacles. May that one-tusked God enlighten us. How he has one task I couldn't explain due to time restrictions. But please now chant. Om Ekadantaya
Ekadantaya
Vidmahe
Vidmahe
Vakra
Tundaya
Dimahi
Tanno
Danti
Prachodayat.
Ekadantaya
Ekadantaya
Vidmahe
Vidmahe
Vakra
Vakra
Tundaya
Tundaya
Dimahi
Dimahi
Tanno
Danta
Prachodayat. Om Ekadantaya
Ekadantaya
Vidmahe
Vidmahe
Vakratundaya
Vakratundaya
Dimahi Tanno
Danti
Prachodayat. Lord Ganesha ki Ganesha Chaturthi ki Shishi Radha Damoda ki Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.